Welcome to our session on Mission Impossible, Making the University More Cost-Effective. And it's being given today by myself, Larry Conrad, and I'm the Vice Chancellor for IT and the CIO at UNC Chapel Hill. And I'll turn it over to Mike Patil, who introduced himself and move into the presentation.
It's a pretty short introduction. I'm Mike Patil. Is it working? Can you hear me back there? I am Associate Dean at School of Pharmacy, as well as I'm Executive Director for Carolina Counts. And I'm going to take you through what that means. What is Carolina Counts? My background is business and IT with American Express, Ericsson, General Electric, and IBM. So with that, let me kind of introduce you who we are. University of North Carolina is the oldest public university in the United States, about 216 years old. They just celebrated 200 years, 16 years ago. 29,000 students as of last August. Faculty to staff ratio is 2 to 5, or staff to faculty ratio is 5 to 2, a total of about 11,000 staff and faculty together. Of the $2.4 billion in budget, $1.2 billion is research. And so, of course, this is a research institution, and so quite a bit of emphasis on that. And if you've been in one, you'll probably understand how distributed that can be when you have research money, and we'll kind of touch on that a little bit later. So we talk about cost effectiveness, and it might sound like it has something to do with the economy going down, that we're really more concerned because of that reason, but that wasn't the reason. We started this back in spring of 2008. That's before the economy tanked. That was somewhere about November, December timeframe. And we really started on the basis of we want to be more effective. We want to take away some of the drudgery. We want to be better in general. And so emphasis, as you'll see as we go through, is not necessarily on cost, though cost comes as a byproduct of what we're doing. And we like that, of course. So the consultant report came in. It identified about $167 million that we could save, over about $800 million in administrative. We weren't going to touch faculty in the report. The report was done by a company called Bain and Company. We were strictly focused on administrative cost. That staff, more or less, procurement, those are the kinds of things. I'll kind of take you through that. And so of the $800 million, we were told we could save as much as $167. So our response was we started the program, and that's Carolina Counts, and to see how much of that can we save. And Larry's going to take you through this very quickly, or I'm going to be very quick, and Larry's going to take you through that in detail. That we've starting on projects that would save us some of that money. It's a 5-year program. We're not looking at all of that all at once. The methodology we're using is really based on data. It's evidence-based. So we're trying to take out as much as we can the subjective, judgmental, philosophical issues. We're strictly crunching data. And when we crunch data, we kind of look at how can we improve that. Community involvement is very key for us. We're a public university, all the way from North Carolina legislature to Board of Trustees, citizens of North Carolina, they're all interested in what we're doing. This is a very well-publicized program, and we do want them to buy into this. So the program itself, our mission is very simple. I can get to it. Okay, it's very simple. It has three, I can get this to work. It has three major words here that are really what we focused on. Collaborative, and collaborative to us says faculty works with the staff, research staff works with the administrative staff, faculty from one school works with another, as well as one university works with another. We have four major universities within a 20-mile diameter, 10-mile radius, and we do want to work together. The second word is well-managed, and that's what we're right now going through. How do we get better? And I'll show you what our objectives are to get us to well-managed. The most is a very critical word, that we not only want to be good, we want to be the best, and this really comes from our chancellor. And so what we translate that to is these three objectives. And nothing here you haven't heard before, that we want to streamline, we want to automate as much as I can, become more productive by automation, that we want to be a responsive, service-oriented organization. We do want to reduce our overall cost. In other words, take out duplicative, redundant processes that we may have. Reduce bureaucracy, and the last part is important too, that we do want to attract good staff and good faculty. And our experience so far, you can get everything else being equal. You can get good faculty by showing how well you work, how less bureaucratic the organization is. And I'll show you one school towards the end that's our, so to say, a token success story. And that became really critical for us, that is the work environment. Does it facilitate faculty in their research, in their teaching mission? And that's what we're after. So I think if this is nothing you haven't heard before, what's so special about our program? So because you would say this is pretty normal. So what's, for us, what's not normal is this, that our chancellor, who is about 42 years old, he has a long ways to go before he retires, and any mistake he makes right now are probably he has to pay throughout his rest of the career. If you're 60, it doesn't matter as much. If you're 42, it matters a lot. And he has already, a little too bright. He has written articles. He has given interviews. These are just some of the samples. He has really stuck his neck out on the program, that we are going to be collaborative. We are going to be cost-effective. And by doing so, I think he has really put a lot of emphasis that we are going to be successful. The stakes are even higher, because beyond that, President Obama recognized that, mentioned that in a speech, and that kind of puts stakes even higher. That it talks about University of North Carolina as doing something, rising tuition. We're trying to control that as much as we can, and we don't want to give up on quality. As I said, nothing we're doing here has to do with faculty. We're not touching them. That's not where the savings are coming from. They all should come from administrative side. So how is this arranged? These are the 10 areas we identified. And if you notice, the first one is really something that the chancellor provost could handle. How should this university be structured? What should its overall strategy be? And that's something we're not necessarily that involved yet. It's something that they are looking into themselves. So the areas here are, four you'll recognize very quickly, procurement, IT, HR, and finance. So those are all administrative areas. These are more what most of the faculty and staff work with on a daily basis. These are face-to-face type of processes, systems. That's something you don't normally see, I guess, or in a daily basis you deal with, is the space utilization, utilities, and we have our old coal-fired power plant, and how can we save money on that? Facilities, as in facility services, and what are the opportunities there? These two are really bordering on academics, but they're not really. Centers and institutes, we have 126 centers and institutes. And we're still trying to put our arms around it to say, what does that mean? How much money goes there? How can we save money on those? The research and compliance, again, we're a research university. We are looking into how we can do that better and save money in administering the research. So how is it structured as far as the program itself goes? There's an oversight committee at the top that's made up of four members of board of trustees, the chancellor, the provost, and one executive each from chancellor's office and provost office. But having just the board of trustees involved in it puts a lot of emphasis on it, that we meet with them monthly, we meet with chancellor every week, we talk about what's going on, what the status is, what we need to do differently, better. This is Carolyn Accounts Program Office. I run that, and we are strictly there to guide people, to help people, give technical assistance. We may push them a little bit.
Could you put that mic a little closer to your mouth? We're recording you. It's very low.
I don't have big lungs.
No. Hold the mic closer to your mouth.
Oh, well.
Much closer.
Much closer?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, that's almost going to hit my teeth. Well.
Thank you.
You could hear back there, though, right?
No.
You want me to start all over? Okay, the important part isn't my part, it's Larry's part. So hopefully Larry could put that on his lips. This is too close for me. So anyway, this is Carolyn Accounts. This is the program office. And initiative champions are, you just went through 10 areas. Each area has their own champion. And for example, Larry represents IT. You saw that in one of the areas. And of those 10 areas, most of the champions are executives in their own right of that area. And so they are responsible for, better? Thanks. They decide what initiatives they're going to take, what projects they're going to take, what priorities should be. Do they really believe in results? They appoint the project teams, and they actually make it happen. And so that's where the action is. We're there just to help them, guide them, direct them. And project teams are what champions appoint. They pick on certain topics that they want to investigate. We might do data analysis for them. We may show them there is an opportunity here. And they appoint the project teams and look at the results. This is the $167 million savings. That's how it's spread out. It's done over 5 years. And if you just look at IT, that's about $19 million over 5 years. That's our target. And again, it's a 5-year program. We're not looking at getting all of this in one lump sum. It kind of goes up and down. This is the low-hanging fruit. That's quite a bit of work. This is so shows kind of maturity level. And I think Larry's going to tell you how he's going to get $19 million. And I'm just as interested as well.
So am I.
So the FIRE program, what does it do? So first year is simply, as I said, low-hanging fruit, tactical changes, small process changes. We did go into some processes. Your program is about a year old, and so we write about here. And we made some changes, and Larry's going to take you through the things he has done. The next year, we're looking at making organizational changes, that can we work differently? Can it be a different structured university. A university, I guess all of you work there, very distributed, at least for us. that every dean is his own king, every faculty member is a fiefdom. You can't really get anything across that well. And so how do we work in that environment? And that's our next 2 years' challenge. And hopefully the last one is, do we make strategic changes, and do we really change our culture, which is really tough things to put our hands around. I guess in Carolina they say it's a Carolina way, and I've been there 4 years. So I still haven't figured out what that is, but that's what it's about. So I'm going to hand it over to Larry and let him take you through how this is implemented.
Okay, thanks, Mike. So, Chancellor came to me and asked me to serve as the IT champion for the Carolina Counts Initiative. That was pretty much the sum total of my directive. We're making this stuff up as we go along. It's not like you can turn to, you know, page 26 of the Make Your University More Efficient playbook and just follow the steps that are there. So this has been an interesting challenge. So I gave some thought to that, and each of the champions, I think, has approached this in their own way. So I thought about this problem and said, well, okay, we hear some brave statements about how we're going to change the culture of UNC Chapel Hill. Well, UNC Chapel Hill is the oldest public university in the country, and I figured with 216 years of culture, that would probably resist change. So the approach that I've tried to take is, in fact, something that's not revolutionary, but more evolutionary, and to work with the campus culture. In fact, leverage the campus culture. So, but let's put some numbers around the problem or the challenge. First of all, this is the sort of the breakdown of roughly 1,100 identifiable IT personnel that are at Carolina. And I'm sure this is true for all of your shops as well, although, you know, people think about IT, oh, well, you've got lots of hardware and software and a lot of expense associated with that. That's true, but at the end of the day, most of the money's in people, right? So if you're going to make some substantive reductions in your costs, you're going to have to find a way to reduce the number of people it takes to do the job. So the left-hand blue part is the central IT organization. The red part is basically the schools and the college. We have one college that has all the undergraduates, arts and sciences. Gray is centers and institutes, and then green is sort of the rest of the administration, like finance administration, that sort of thing. Another way to slice it is it's nominally $100 million in an annual IT personnel spend. And again, same kind of breakdown. These numbers are now pre-budget cut numbers, but the left-hand column is the central IT, and again, the academic units and centers, institutes, and central administration. But and then finally, this is a look at, well, how are those people deployed? And again, with that same breakdown from the vertical side, central, academic, centers, institutes, and administrative. But then you can see that there's a large chunk of these people are in administrative or business applications, a big chunk in end-user support, a pretty good chunk in systems, administration, maintenance, and then there's sort of a potpourri of other things there. But that helps you understand, you know, when you look at trying to cut costs out of the organization, where are you going to have to look to cut those costs? All right, so the approach that I took was to, you know, I've been there about 3 years, and one of the things that I've tried very hard to do in the time that I've been there is to build bridges with the campus IT community. We've got some very, very smart, capable people who are outside of the central IT organization. And it was clear to me that I didn't want to have the Carolina Counts Initiative create some problems with that. I mean, the last thing that any of us want is to have some fundamental breakdown in communication because of the perception that central IT is trying to, you know, wipe out the distributed staff or whatever. So how I approached this was to form a committee, right? We're higher education. That's how we solve everything, right? Form a committee. And I invited three of my senior managers, three of the campus IT directors who are outside of the central IT organization. And we have sort of the, the worker bee level, it's something called the CTC. Basically, it's our users group of the people who do the real work in the organization. And we invited them to provide three reps. And I chaired it, and we started to work. And so what we did was think of ways, you know, what are some things that we could do that we think would have a substantive impact on cost, either direct or indirect, on our IT costs. And we came up with 32 separate projects that we thought would help. And then we realized that one of the key challenges that we needed to take on, and it's in fact one of those 32 projects, is what should be centralized versus distributed? An easy question to ask, maybe not so easy to answer. Although I'm going to say more about that in a moment. But, the basic idea is if we can go out to our campus units and say, all right, here's an idealized model of what should be centralized, what should be decentralized, then that gives us basically a point to start with in the discussion with the campus units. And then the next thing we realized is that, we're not going to cram this down anybody's throat. That's not the Carolina way. You don't cram things down people's throat. And I think that's the case at most, certainly large research universities. So we decided what we needed to do is become marketeers. Now, I've got 2 degrees in computer science, no degree in marketing. So this has been a bit of a challenge. I tapped one of my senior managers who is probably best at that, and we pulled together a team to come up with something that we're calling the Carolina Counts IT Partnership Program. And the basic idea is to we zeroed in on a subset of those 32 projects that we felt were priority projects that would hold the most bang for the buck, that we thought would we'd have the most luck selling to the campus community. Now, I will tell you that I'm using marketing language and sales language here to help you all understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to avoid saying those things on campus just because we think it pollutes sort of the discussion. What we're really trying to do is present what we think are the best approaches, best practices, if you will, and then let people make their informed decisions about those. Okay, so I talked about this model of centralized versus decentralized, and I'll warn you right up front, there's two screens on this. And this should very much have draft all over it. It's a proposed model, but what we took our project team that was working on this, and we came up with a set of what we felt were the key identifiable services that would be understood by non-IT leadership, in other words, the executive leadership of campus units. And then we basically just voted, the project team voted on, on a service-by-service basis, should it be centralized versus decentralized? And the blue is an indication of should be centralized, and the yellow is an indication it should be decentralized. And, we're pretty pleased with the way this turned out, and I'll go to the next screen so you can see a few more of those that are there. But, we've got more vetting to do on this. Okay, the committee doesn't get to choose. We need to leverage the governance process, the IT governance process on campus, to in fact weigh in on this, and that's my intent as the CIO to do that. Having said that, I think these are pretty good choices. So, for example, take the one at the top: communications infrastructure, network and phone system, phone conferencing. I think everybody would pretty much agree that should be a centralized service. At the other end of the spectrum, you've got, unit-specific business applications or specialized discipline or unit-based support. Again, I think everybody would pretty much agree, including me, that those should be decent, those would be distributed services. And then, where each of these lies on that spectrum will undoubtedly vary as you talk to different audiences. But that's where we're headed, at any rate, is to try to come to some kind of common understanding, and I believe we can. I really think we can, which would be sort of the idealized model. Again, doesn't mean people have to follow it, but we think this is good information. So when we go out to talk to department heads, deans in particular, we want to take this out there and say, okay, you know, free will still exists. You may choose, but this is what the idealized view of campus thinks. So we'll see how that goes. The design on this thing was to say, all right, first of all, we got to do more than just, you know, send a bunch of sales brochures through the mail. We've got to get up close and personal. And one of the first things we realized is we needed to target the program individually for each unit, that everybody's going to be a one-off at some level. Everybody has a little different set of needs. There'll be a lot of commonality, but again, we think that we have to look at these on a case-by-case basis. I've taken, and this isn't, I keep looking for a better analogy, but the best analogy I've come up with so far is I think about what the auditors do. So, you know, you get a letter in the mail that says, you know, you're going to be audited on the following things, and we've scheduled a entrance meeting with the, you know, the unit leadership on date X. You meet, you talk about the objectives, you form the audit team, they go off and do their work, they come back with a report, there's an exit meeting, they present the report, you know, management decides what they're going to say about each one of those and so forth. While I don't particularly like invoking the audit metaphor, I think that's the kind of approach that that makes sense. So what we've looked to do is, again, focus on those priority projects for the greatest return on investment. We are going to target an initial meeting with the unit IT leadership in advance of the entrance meeting. And one of the things we want to do, frankly, is go over that idealized model of centralized versus distributed, find out where they sit on that spectrum. And then we'll have our entrance meeting. We'll lay out our the objectives and what we also hope to get from the discussion with the IT leadership, where they see the greatest opportunities. So then we'll present that here'll be the focal areas for the joint team that looks into this. There'll be we will form that joint team to explore the opportunities. We'll have an exit meeting with the unit executives and the leadership to lay out whatever the plan is for adoption. So let me just throw these up quickly. These are our priority projects. And first of all, it starts, as I indicated, a clear articulation of what services are out there. And central services in particular is a focus, but it doesn't have to be central services. Or central services could be things that are being provided by a distributed unit. In fact, we're having these discussions about establishing service clusters. So a concept might be, well, one of my hot buttons is I want to see service clusters on campus for that would provide competent systems administration. I mean, that's an information security issue for me as a CIO. And that's where we have our biggest challenges with information security is, you know, people are trying to maintain servers and they just don't know how to do it. They're not capable. So I'd like to enlist a number of campus units into providing that kind of thing. And there's other areas. So there's some teaching and learning products where we have a service cluster. We're talking about video conferencing. So I think there's plenty of opportunities for having different areas provide services. But at any rate, we better define central versus distributed, server housing, hosting services. We've got, you know, the state of North Carolina has invested rather significantly in these, the state-of-the-art machine rooms. Well, you know, we want people to be taking advantage of those and stop building their 100-square-foot machine rooms. It used to be a broom closet last week. Let's get them out. Let's shut the broom closets down and get these servers into to our professionally managed environment. 24/7 help desk consolidation. You know, I believe strongly that individual personal PC Mac support is best done close to the unit so that they understand the discipline, they understand personalities, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, tier one help desk, That's something everybody can use. And we've got a very good program that's going, and it's in fact in use across the campus. So we want to push that a little harder. Network attached storage, virtualized servers, consolidate email and calendaring services in our central exchange server, increased use of software site licensing, and then virtual computing labs. These are all areas that we think hold some significant bang for the buck. So where are we? Well, we need to do further vetting of the central versus distributed model, as I indicated. And it's important to understand what we can count. It's also important to understand where we count from. So so we say Carolina counts, and Carolina counts from January 1, 2009. That's an important date. That predates all of the budget cuts. We get to take credit for all the budget cuts. That's important. And you'll see in a moment how important that is. The reductions can be, of course, from actual real dollar savings, and those are preferable, consolidation, budget cuts, whatever. But we can also claim cost avoidance. Now, that's tougher. That gets real squishy, but information security is a good example of that, where, you know, are you going to save money with information security? No, information security costs money, but you can save a lot of money by trying to avoid a major incident, which we've had in over the last year. One of the other things that we've had to put in place is the central IT organization, ITS, Information Technology Services, has begun a formal customer service improvement initiative. And that's necessary, frankly, because if we're going to get people to utilize or make greater utilization of the central services, they've got to have faith and trust that we can do what we say we're going to do, that the services are going to be responsive, they're going to perform, they're going to be there, they're going to be reliable, we know what we're doing, et cetera, et cetera. So we're again, you'll see the theme here is kind of a marketing approach, right? I mean, we need to convince people that that we know what we're doing. We've begun the IT partnership program. I've had my first meeting with one of the deans, and we've got a number of them stacked up right now over the coming weeks and months. Frankly, I think as we are going to struggle with our next round of budget cuts, as I'm sure many of you are, I think roughly the next 6 months is is our best opportunity. Not that there won't be other times when you can get people's attention, but I think as units are looking at how they're going to struggle with this, you know, we've been through three rounds of budget cuts. So this isn't just going to be tighten the belt one more notch, folks. I mean, people are going to have to make some really tough decisions. And we think getting this message out, you know, our marketing message out in the next, you know, nominally 6 months is the right time frame to help the units save money. And I should have noted earlier, but, you know, so we've talked about the target, Mike put up some pretty impressive numbers that the consultants said they thought we could save. Well, the decision was made from the beginning that the university is not going to collect up that money centrally and do something with it. The units get to keep it. So, you know, if I can go out and save the School of Medicine X hundreds of thousands or whatever a year, I don't get that money. School of Medicine gets to reallocate it. So that's particularly important as you talk about the budget cut situation. And we've generated one-pager service summaries to showcase the various IT projects. Like this, this is a marketing document. Okay, so we describe, and I picked on this one, was our use of our data center. So you probably can't read that back there, but basically upper left, we describe the service. Upper right, we talk about the advantages that the people, the benefits from that service. Lower left, we give the list of current campus units who are using this thing. So, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, nobody's doing it or I'm going to be the first one. And then on the lower right, we give a testimonial. So, as I say, I'm not a marketing guy, but we're trying hard, and generate one of these on each of the services that we want to present. Now, here's a little side effect of the Carolina Counts initiative. One is while there's been a lot of focus on how do we reduce cost, there's also an issue of complexity of the organization. So I throw this up because this is sort of the high-level view of the university. And I got to tell you, when the chancellor presented this at his cabinet meeting, he was absolutely dumbstruck, and that's why he was sharing it with us, because he said, you know, I had no idea that things had gotten so complicated at the university. And I think they came up with, Mike, there's 10 levels, I think they found, the consultants found 10 levels, and the argument the consultants made, and I think it's a reasonable one, is that if you're trying to drive some unanimity and consistency, you know, you're trying to drive a message and a mission down the organization, good luck getting down 10 levels. I think, and that's a point well taken. This is going to take some time to do something about. But let's translate that into the central IT organization. And this is another way that they presented this, and I know you're not going to be able to see that back here, but each of those little dots in there is a person. And in this little yellow dot in the middle is me as the CIO, and these are my direct reports, and you get the idea. Each level you go out is another layer of management. And one of the things that we discovered, and this actually isn't a beginning document, it's sort of a midway document, but we discovered that, we went from level 3, which is where I'm at, because I officially report to the executive vice chancellor and provost, out to layer 8. And one of the things we did then was we eliminated layer 8 altogether. And I took another example. I looked at my senior management team as part of the budget cuts, and I found, frankly, a senior manager that had 2 direct reports. Well, we had a budget cut. So I eliminated that position, and I realigned that organization elsewhere. So there's real things that you can do through that. What I've done in the last, couple years is eliminated 34 filled positions with minimal impact on customers, not zero impact, but minimal. We included 5. That included 5 executive level positions, and we did increase the span slightly. We still have some more work to do on that, but we did eliminate an entire management layer. What's the overall results? Well, here are some of the key things we did. The School of Medicine really took this idea of utilizing our data center to heart, and they've got something like 20 racks of equipment now, I think, over there now. So they were able to save at least $150,000 non-recurring. And they moved their tier one help desk over to ours, and that saved them $120,000 recurring. I don't know, you probably all got some kind of on-call pay, you're paying people to just, be available in case there's a problem. Well, we had a lot of that. And, as we looked at our, moving into the first round of budget cuts, frankly, that was the first thing I got rid of. I said, which wasn't terribly popular. It burned in effigy would not be an overstatement. But, basically my argument to the staff was, okay, I know this is going to take some money out of your pockets, but it's that or lay off more of your colleagues. That's the harsh reality. So, we were able to cut that. We improved, and now this is, notice I'm saying we improved staff efficiency in spans and layers, which is code words for budget cuts. So we've eliminated $3.8 million so far in the central IT organization. That includes the most recent one for the start of this fiscal year. I didn't have the most recent for the distributed units, but they had almost $2 million before the start of this fiscal year, so we know it'll be higher than that. And that translates into at least $6.5 million of recurring cuts in IT expenses. Now, remember, the consultant's target was $19 million. Actually, what they told me was a range of $12 to $19 million. And, if you look at that lower range, we're over halfway there. So this is, it's not, this is not all smoke and mirrors is the point. And finally, I put a new governance, IT governance structure in place. So we have a place to go. Frankly, we have political cover to claim when we have to make some of the harder decisions. Okay. So, mission challenges for the IT piece. The Bain survey identified 1,100 personnel, $100 million in personnel costs, roughly. The applications, end-user support, and the systems admin maintenance are the largest components. So that's where you're going. That's, you know, you're going to have to go there to find the most of the savings. Forgot to turn this off. Hang on. And the consultants had, you know, these were corporate consultants. So they came in with a sort of a traditional corporate model, consolidate staff and just top-down directives. And that was their first, when they first met with me, they said, you know, you got to get control of this IT stuff. You know, you need to have all the IT staff report to you, and you need to dictate the PC's configurations that people can buy. And I said, okay, and then I'll update my resume. I mean, that doesn't work. That doesn't work at a major research university. It collides with Carolina culture. And as I say, I've tried to take an approach that's more consistent with that. So the central challenge, of course, is how do we drive adoption of these IT projects, which could save units money. And that's where I've outlined the Carolina Accounts IT Partnership Program. You know, frankly, ask me in 6 months. I mean, I really think I'll have a good sense in about 6 months on how successful we're going to be with that. All right, with that, I'll turn it back over to Mike.
Okay. I would like to mention that we had, if you saw the Bain study or Bain report, 5 years, and every year there were dollars associated with it, that how much are we going to save every year? What we have so far, first year, and we have a forecast for the second year, and we're on target, a little bit ahead, matter of fact. And so we're doing well. But of that, 10 different areas, some are ahead and some are behind. Larry is one that's ahead. And so I think that's our success story right here, that it's really working. Some of the tools he showed you are the tools we used. And so they're not arbitrary random cuts when he talks about cuts. They were done using some of the things you saw, and we don't want to go through the details of it, but they really targeted cuts based on some of the tools we have. So what worked for us? If you go back to Larry's presentation, that what he talked about is he brought in 9 people as a team, and they were from different areas of expertise, so to say, that they're different levels of people, central, distributed, and real workers. And so that really says bring in people, get buy-in. We on our side, what we're doing, we work with Board of Trustees, we work with the legislature, we work with the chancellor, and so that's also constituency we're after, and we work with them as well. And so from both sides, we're working together on this. That all of the results, including Larry's, what he's doing, are tracked. We keep track of it almost every week, what's going on, what's been done. All of this is on our website, open to public. Every project that we have, if you come to public scrutiny, that we are making sure that even the citizens of North Carolina, really all over the world, I guess, could see that. So it's a carolinaccounts.unc.edu. So it has some 120 projects identified. Of that, IT is 32. And it shows the progress, who's working on it, what they have done, why they're doing it. So it's really, we opened it up to general public to say, here we are, that's what we're doing. Your comments are welcome. So it's a live site, and people do get back with us and a lot of suggestions, questions, sarcasm, all kinds of things. We, on that site, we publish comparative benchmarks. So we say, how's public health doing against medicine? How's medicine doing against pharmacy? And there are about 9 different data points so far that we have collected for every school. And so they're charts and graphs. They're not really numbers. And by doing so, we're kind of hoping we bring certain amount of peer pressure to play here to say, look how good medicine is doing. Why aren't you there? And so those are IT, function, total cost, funding. There are quite a few things on the website, and we're going to do more and more. Because in a distributed environment where there is not a real CEO, per se, that can dictate terms, as Larry said, that's not a corporate model. That what we have is not Carolina Way, it's not a corporate model. And so we have to really work around that to say, look at each other and learn from them. We do provide technical support, and hopefully that helps. So this is an example. I think I mentioned that earlier, that this is not, Carolyn Accounts wasn't really designed as a response to the economy. It just came in handy when economy tanked, but it was done way before that. And so back in 2006, a School of Pharmacy started this on a pilot program, that how could we improve the school? How can we be more cost effective? And if you look at the results, the research growth during those 3 years is 165%, went from 8 million to 17. Right now it's almost tripled the last year. Faculty increased by 60%. Overall budget went up by 68%. And when you look at all these numbers, typically people say when you grow that fast and you have that many, oh, your staff has to go up. And so it kind of goes in parallel with your overall growth. Here we actually cut the staff by 18% over those 3 years. And it wasn't anything punitive or let's do it. It was we had better processes. We had more automation. We really paid attention to who does what. We look at the competencies. And we went through quite a bit of what Larry took you through. We used all the tools we had. And so that's a success story. And we're hoping to repeat that. Of course, it's a lot more difficult when you look at the overall university than just one little school. But we're hoping to repeat that through UNC. So, 1 minute. I'd already spent my minute here. Okay, these are the things we hear. I'm going to really cut this short. We're different, that people do want to stay within the comfort zone. We're different. We hear that all the time. Procrastination down there. A lot of people are just hoping we'll go away. And so they just think, you just dig in there and another year there'll be nobody there. But again, remember the chancellor is behind us. Board of trustees are interested. And so I don't think we're going to go away anytime soon. Low-hanging fruit, so to say, that we already have done everything that can be done. What more do you ask of us? And so that's something we fight against as well. So what is it that's going to sustain us from here on? Larry mentioned marketing. We're looking at marketing overall for all of 10 areas. To say, how could we market this better? How can we show people that this is an evidence-based, tool-based approach and not, again, self-serving, arbitrary? That we're building trust we go once a week to just about every constituency you can think of, employee forum, faculty council, executive council, dean's council, and we really spread the message. We show them what we're doing. Our site helps a lot to say, here we are, it's all in the open. Top management, chancellor frequently keeps mentioning that he believes in this, this is what he wants. He brings people there once every other month, his direct reports and related. Provost does the same thing. So it's a continuous emphasis on that this is going to happen. And we do assess our program. We see how well we're doing. And can we do something better? I think I'll stop right there.
All right. Any questions? We might have time for a couple.
What was the basis for the $18 million goal?
Is this working? Okay. So the question is, what was the basis for that, for the $19 million for IT? My understanding from our consultants is that was based on their experience in other organizations. It wasn't calculated in any fine-tuned way. Yes. You know, that's a really interesting question. There used to be a ranking of the most efficient universities. How many of y'all remember that? They don't do that anymore. I mean, right? Does anybody know, anybody aware of any U.S. News and World Report? I don't believe. So that's a very good question, and that might be something that comes back. Truth is, we don't know. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So where are we on how efficient we are versus the rest of the world is hard to say.
I guess there's one indicator there, though. When we try to recruit faculty, they frequently tell us that I was at such and such university, yours runs a lot better. Again, everything being equal, so to say, that I'd rather work here than somewhere else. And we have been recruiting faculty. I think School of Pharmacy, you saw, we grew by 60%. And we have had very good luck getting faculty. Other way around, we haven't had much desertion, so to say. I don't know what the right word is. And part of it is, not all of it, obviously, but part of it is how well we work and how less bureaucratic we could be. And that's not to say we know the progress. It's just that we know we're getting probably better if we're attracting better faculty.
Okay, and I see we're already a little over time, but we can stick around for a couple of minutes while we're shutting down if there are any other questions. Thank you.